like you to turn your Bibles back to the book of Acts, chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 gives us an account of the ministry of the Apostle Paul and of Barnabas, particularly in the southern part of Asia Minor, as the Holy Spirit lead them. And then, of course, we also know from this chapter that they return to Antioch to give a report to the church of all that the work of all that God had done with all that the Lord had done through them, and how God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, as you see in verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearse, meaning to say they report back and tell the rest of the brethren all that the Lord had done with them. And then, of course, one particular highlight I want to bring up to all of us concerning the ministry of these two men, of these two apostles, and particularly the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Here we see how the servant of the Lord, though they are called, though they are appointed and sent forth to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no certainty that they are spared from troubles and affliction. You see the opposition to their ministry, opposition to the gospel, and they were being persecuted by the people, even by their own people, the Jews, whom Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel to. They were not spared from such affliction and facing danger even to their life, as we see the Apostle Paul was stoned. But in the mercy of the Lord, he was preserved. They were exposed to danger, and Paul was stoned, hated, and they threw him out of the city and left him to die. But God watched over his preachers, God watched over his servant, and God watched over his people. And for those of us who are in the ministry, of those of us who are serving the Lord, be assured, the Lord is with you. But yet at the same time, be reminded, you are not spared from all the troubles and all the opposition. Satan is at work, and therefore I would suggest to those members of the body of Christ that you pray for the preachers. You pray for your pastor. You pray for the minister, that God will enable them to continue fearlessly, boldly, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, despite all this discouragement, despite all this opposition, that you will pray for them, that the Holy Spirit will empower them and give them boldness to continue to preach despite the suffering. The Lord surrounded Paul with some faithful disciples, and the gospel continues to go forth to the Gentiles. For our spiritual edification this morning, we shall turn our attention to the crippled man. The crippled man mentioned in verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. First of all, we want to look at this man's faith, this lame man's faith. Secondly, we want to look at and consider wherein lies his faith to be healed. And thirdly, we want to look at what is the teaching of this miracle itself and the blessing which this crippled man obtained through faith. Our subject this morning is the faith of the crippled man, the faith of this man who is lame from birth. What was it that preceded the crippled man's faith? I'm confident that you have no difficulty for this congregation, especially in answering this question in verse 9. The same heard Paul speak. What was it that preceded the crippled man's faith? And as I've said, I'm sure you have no difficulty in answering this question. And so the answer is hearing. The same heard Paul speak. Hearing preceded or preceded his faith. That faith cometh by singing, music. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. Romans 10:17. And this is a great and universal rule for receiving the gospel, for having faith. Hearing precedeth his faith. However, it must also naturally lead to the next question. Hear what? Hearing what? As I said, music? Some nice motivational story of some celebrity and some sportsman who claim to be Christian, which many Christians fall for, and they circulate it around through the social media. And they were in great wonder that such celebrity, sportsmen, famous actors, actresses, famous people, who once upon a time was of the world, and then now, oh, they are so impressed that they are now Christians. And they go around churches to tell their story of how they were saved. But I want to point out to you, and which you will see later on, what Paul preached. And what this man heard. Hearing of what? Doubtless, the hearing of the gospel. Nothing of what I just mentioned. No invitation of celebrity to come to hear. Nothing of that sort. On turning your Bibles, in fact, you will find that it is written, and there preach. And there they preach the gospel. Verse 7. And there they preach the gospel. Did you notice that verse 7 stands out itself just by itself? How, whoever put this into this verse order, by the way, do you know that in our scripture, both the Hebrew and Greek, actually the origin, there is no such thing as verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, it's all just continuous. And in fact, in some of the old manuscripts, some of the Greek texts, there is even no exclamation mark and no all this thing, is just continuous. And therefore, scholars have to spend a lot of time to read it and to understand it, to study, and then to give all its, to lay it out in proper order for the easy understanding of the lay people. And so here you see it is there. There they preached the gospel. The Apostle Paul did not change his message, did he? Because of the opposition and the persecution. Now that I know that people do not like to hear the gospel that I have presented in this way, concerning about Christ and his suffering on the cross and sin and hell. Okay, let me right now change something that will tickle their ears so that they can come. Tell them something pleasant. Tell them something motivational, as I said before. No, he did not. He did not preach another gospel that is palatable to the people's ears. Make it more relevant to our young people, as it is commonly said right now. No, he continued to preach the same gospel. Same gospel which he preached before. Nothing new under the sun. No gimmick. Same gospel whom when the Lord called him to preach right from the beginning and until now, despite the persecution, despite the suffering, despite the opposition, he preached the same gospel. It makes no difference to him. Whoever the hearers are in different places, whether they are educated, whether they are lowly, whether they are of low standing in society, whether they are down and out people on the streets, he preached the same gospel to them both. You recall that Paul went to Ephesus, and Ephesus was a city bewitched with sorcery. The people have given themselves up to this practice of magical arts, so to speak. What was the right way to preach to such people who are plagued by all this sorcery in Ephesus? Deliver a course of lecture upon the impossibility and the absurdity of such superstition? No, nothing of the kind. Preach Christ! Preach the gospel! Tell them that they have sinned against God, rebelled against God, and therefore they deserve to be thrown into the lake of fire. But God in His mercy and long suffering, bear with them, give them chance after chance to hear the gospel, to turn to Him. Did He preach and tell them to bring out all their magical books and to burn them in the fire? And then next, look at the polished governor by the name of Sergius Paulus, which we read the last time, sitting upon his throne, the judgment seat. What shall be preached to him, this man, this governor, with authority? Would it not be a good idea to tell him something about politics? To show him a trick or two how to, run the economy? Or to care for the people? To show that Christian religion does not really interfere with proper government? That it does not stir the people up to anarchy? Just tell him that. After all, he's in power and authority. No, again, nothing of the kind from Paul. There was nothing for Sergius Paulus any more than there is Elymas, the sorcerer, but the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul goes to Athens, you know about the Athenians. They are learned, scholar, philosophical. So what will Paul preach there? The gospel. The whole gospel. Nothing but the gospel. He may change his tones, of course, but never his matter. It is the same remedy for the same disease. Whatever the people may be. Whatever condition you may be in. He comes to Corinth, another place, as you know. Hear what? Not only polished manners, but very refinement of immorality. It is a city flourishing with trade. They are growing economically. They are doing well, rich. What then? Will Paul right now please all these businessmen, all these traders, assume a different message? No, the same. Christ for the Athenians is the Christ for the Corinthians too. And you see now here, he has come to Lycaonia and he is preaching at Lystra. Here is a group of ignorant people who worship any image. Why does he not begin by preaching the deity? Why does he not talk to them about the Trinity, the triune Godhead? Why does he not try and confute their notion about the many gods that they are worshipping? No, my friends. Paul will do nothing of the kind. In fact, not only Paul, all the apostles of old, all the disciples of old, they preach the same thing, the first and the last thing that Paul will do at Lystra, there he will preach the gospel. Oh, I don't know, what are your thoughts? Do you not think those of us who are Christians and you claim to be one, Is it not the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved you? Never, I pray, brethren, never, never lose heart in the power of the gospel. Do not believe in Satan's lie that there exists any man, much less any race of mankind, for whom the gospel is not fitted or not suited. No need to make it relevant to our young people. Just preach the gospel in whatever age, whatever stage. Tell them straight in the face, you have sinned against God. God loves you and God is giving you the chance, extending this free grace of His mercy to you. Now therefore repent and turn to Him and thou shalt be saved, and saved indeed to the uttermost. And He will surely guide you as you continue your life here in this sin-cursed world. He will walk alongside you. But if you reject, it is to your own detriment. Wherever you go, do not cut it, do not trim it. When you go out to share the gospel, when you give a tract to someone out there, no fear. Stare at them like Paul looking at this man, beholding him. He who steadfastly beholding him, and you look straight into their eyes. In love, of course, give them the gospel as what you have received. Don't trim it, don't cut it, don't alter it. Just bring out the whole truth as God has revealed it to you. And rest assured that you will be unto God a sweet savour of Christ in every place that you go, in every place that God sends you, both in them who are saved and in them who perish. Next we ask, what was this gospel which the Apostle Paul did preach everywhere? You know it again. This is a very simple question. This is the gospel. The gospel has in three things. There are certain facts in it, certain doctrines in it, certain commands in it. It was a gospel of facts. Every time Paul stood up to preach, he will begin with God, the Creator, looking upon the human race, seeing them as a people lost, ruined by sin. Out of love to them, God sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, who was born of the Virgin Mary, lived some 33 years, a life of spotless innocence and perfect obedience to God. He was fully God, fully man. In due time, He was delivered up by traitor by the name of Judas Iscariot. He was crucified, actually put to death. Though He was the Lord of life and glory, who only has immortality, yet He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. After 3 days, He rose again and showed Himself to many of His disciples, so that they were well assured that Jesus was the same person who had been put into the grave. And when the 40 days were finished, He ascended up in heaven in the sight of all of them, where He sits at the right hand of God and shall also come before long a second time to judge the quick, both the quick and the dead. Anything new to you, brethren? Have you not heard this a million times over? Perhaps even read it a million times over? This is what Paul breathed out. And this is all the facts. This is a faithful saying, says the Apostle Paul, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Briefly, these are the facts which Paul preached, and if any one of these facts be preached, or he preached doubtfully, or left out in his preaching, then the gospel is not preached. Then it is filtered. And then following these facts, there are certain doctrines, as I said. What are the doctrines? And you know, the major key doctrine, he preached the Lord Jesus Christ has offered a full atonement to divine wrath for the sin of his people, so that whosoever would believe on him or trust in him should be saved. The doctrine of the atonement would form undergird the most prominent feature in the gospel of the Apostle Paul. Christ has suffered for us, the sinner, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And then beside the doctrine then, beside this doctrine of atonement, what are the doctrine that we have? Doctrine of pardon or doctrine of forgiveness, which is the forgiveness of sin. Paul would tell how God would be just and yet the justifier of him who believes. How all the manner of sin and iniquity shall be forgiven unto man. The simple condition being that the sinner believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusts in him, and this not so much the work of man, but a gift from the Holy Spirit. Clearly, or equally clearly, would be the doctrine of justification, which is preached a million times again from this pulpit. And you know, and Paul would say, Christ will wash you by his blood. More than that, he will clothe you with the perfect holiness of his character imputed to you. And being justified, you shall have peace with God. And there shall be no condemnation because you are in Christ. Paul will be pleading to men and women, boys and girls, to lay hold upon eternal life. To look to Jesus. Not to look to your friends, not to look to your family members, not to look to your pastor, not to look to your elders and your deacons, not even to look to your loved ones, but to look to Christ, to forsake the deeds of the law, to put their trust in nothing which comes from man, but to look to Jesus and to Jesus only. These are the great gospel truths, atonement, pardon or forgiveness, justification, with all other truths connected with them, which I briefly mentioned, were the gospel which the Apostle Paul preached. And out of this doctrine, we have certain commands. What are the commands? Do you know, by the way, when the Bible tells us, repent of your sin, that word repent in the Greek, or even in the Old Testament, comes with the grammar behind it. It's an injunction. It's a command. It is not, please repent, please turn to, if you want to turn to God or repent of your sin, you do as you like. No, my friend. It is in the imperative mood. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It is not repent as you like. No, it is a command. Imperative mood. You repent now. And so often we look at it, oh, God asked me to repent, so it's okay, I'll just take my time. After all, I'm so busy. No, my friends. I just want to highlight this again to you, which of course I'm sure this congregation, as I said, you have been long enough here to hear this a million times over. And the commandment is, believe, and same here. Let's say, for example, this verse that I'm going to read to you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The word believe in the Greek is in the imperative mood, meaning to say it's a command. Believe now. Now. No delay. And there are other similar commands that you know of. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he had not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, John 3:18. And so you see here that the Apostle Paul preached the gospel, which was made up of certain authenticated facts, out of which spring forth certain gracious evangelical doctrines, and then it was enforced and driven home with divine authority by Christ's own command. As for the Christian believers, the preachers, the truth we proclaim is not that which we discovered ourselves, but that which has been delivered to us, that which has been already revealed to us. So where does this crippled man's faith came from? It came from the Apostle Paul preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. very quickly, now we come to the second point. Wherein rests this crippled man's faith? Verse 9 tells us that Paul, perceiving he had faith, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to heal. This means that the Apostle Paul was given this spiritual gift. He was given an insight from the Holy Spirit that this man's, this crippled man's has the faith to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, through Paul, may heal him completely. Paul perceived that, and I certainly believe it is a gift from the Holy Spirit for the Apostle Paul to carry out his work. And he knows that this man has that faith. He believed that, or this crippled man believed that, from what Paul says of Christ's character and of Christ's power to heal. Therefore, Paul said to him, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he did so in a moment, for he had faith to be healed. So from this text we can see that there is such a thing as faith to be saved. This is true saving faith. The faith which knows you are saved and rejoices in the hope of the glory of God. The one who has this kind of faith believes in his or her heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that Christ has made a full atonement for his chosen people through his blood. He believes that Jesus is worthy to be trusted. He believes that he can depend on nothing but Christ. He echoes with Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." Now, therefore, we must ask, wherein rests or lay this crippled man's faith? Is this just up here, knowledge, so that I know all the Bible verses at my fingertips and I can just recite it out and therefore I have faith? Wherein lay or rest this man's faith? It is in the inner man, his heart. The Apostle Paul states emphatically in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy head, in thy heart, that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then following verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Brethren and friends, do you have the faith to believe that you are saved? And not just claim or say. And you can repeat it a million times as I say, "I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm sure a Christian." You can say it a million times, say it in your sleep, say it while you're walking, say it while you're eating. It doesn't mean that you have faith. It is inside here. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your heart. You see, you cannot lie. You can lie to others, put on a front, dress nicely on Sunday. "I'm a Christian. I believe I come to church, you know. You look here, I'm sitting and listening every Sunday regularly." Oh friends, I release it to you, brethren and friends, to ask or to answer this question. Do you really have the faith to believe that you are saved? Then we come finally to the blessing which the crippled man obtained through faith. And this is the third lesson. The blessing which the crippled man obtained through faith. And look here in verse 10. And after Paul has said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on the..." And what happened to him? He leaped and walked. He was restored. Not half restored, by the way. Fully restored. Not like this, charismatic and what have you, healing ministry, oh, you know, this whoever pray or put offering in the box there, and then I will pray for you and sure the Lord will heal you, and then next week you come again still having the same problem. Nothing of that sort. It is complete healing. And here is the same. The spiritual lesson behind that is the blessing of full salvation for those who are spiritually crippled. If you believe in your hearts the Lord Jesus as your Savior, put your trust in Him, you can be assured, safe to the very end. Sadly, there are those who thought, although they have faith to be saved, but are still entirely lame or painfully limping. And the reason may be different. Well, we understand there are those who maybe are so grieved and convicted by their past sin, while they do believe that Jesus is able and willing to save them, but yet they have this weakness in them, we can understand, that get hold of them. They have this weakness in faith, you may say, and the languishing of their soul, because they are so affected by their past sin. We do know of true believers who went through, are going through that. And of course, if you read in the Pilgrim Progress, you read of one, I've forgotten his name, that John Bunyan name, and he was one, a weak Christian. He is truly a born again believer, but yet very weak in faith, often feeling very low because he keep on recalling or remembering his past sin that affected him. Dear friends, if you are in such a state, hear what Paul said to this lame man. Stand upright on thy feet. If you believe in Jesus Christ, whatever your fears may be, there is no cause for them. As for your sin, they are laid on Christ, every one of them. Though you have continued to sin as a believer, the Lord Jesus says to you, I have put away your sin, you shall not die. I have blotted out like a cloud your transgression, and like a thick cloud all your sins are removed. Rejoice then and be glad. Don't keep going and hop back on your past sin. Pray like what the Apostle Paul taught us to pray, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth unto those things that are before. Lord, help me to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Make that your daily prayer. Don't be deceived by Satan. Oh, remember your past sin? You remember all the filthy life that you have lived in? Don't let him do that to you. Don't let him deceive you. If you have truly believed, then be assured all your sins are cleansed, forgiven, removed as far from the east as from the west. Those of us who are still crippled, though they have faith through ignorance, these are the people who are saved, but they are still in the state of ignorance. They do not know what is being saved. They entertain wrong expectation. They are trusting in Christ, but they did not feel any surprise. These are another group of people. They thought, and perhaps been influenced or someone from whatever that tell them that, oh, when you become a Christian, you should have this sensation going through, this emotion, you know, this peace that suddenly flows in your heart, or some kind of an electric shock. There's no need of such thing, my dear friends. No need of such thing. And so there are those who expected to have dreams, vision, some kind of a sensation to go through them. And if they don't have, therefore they are not saved. They are waiting for something, but waiting for something that they hardly know of to fortify their faith with signs and wonders. Beloved, though you may never have had any ecstatic joys or suffer any deep depression of your spirit, if you are resting on the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not matter a single bit what your feelings have been or have not been. don't have to wait for that electric shock or that electric sensation to go through and to confirm that you are a believer. You don't need that. Don't be deceived by all this health and wealth gospel, easy believism from all these charismatic and Pentecostal churches, and all these faith healing pastors. Or, I don't know, I shouldn't call them human pastors, they are false teachers. Just ask yourself, do I truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I simply depending upon Him for everything? If you do, you are saved and your sins are forgiven. You are a child of God. You are an heir of heaven. And then there are some here who are spiritually crippled by unbelief. And I appeal to you, consider very carefully, my dear friends, if you are still in this state of unbelief, even though you may be coming into this church, please bear with me, brethren. I am very burdened and fearful by many who comes and go into churches every Sunday, regularly, faithfully, and even on time. But they are not saved. Don't deceive yourself. You know it yourself. The moment you walk out of this church, when you begin a new week, ask yourself, really? I come to church and worship God because I'm a believer? Don't fool yourself. You can fool me. But I'm so fearful because I see it. I see it. I'm really appealing to you. Be very careful. Don't deceive yourself. Don't even think because your family members, your father, mothers, your siblings are all Christian, therefore you are one. You are not. Don't lie. You are lying to yourself. And you are doing it to your own detriment. Do yourself a great favor, my dear friends. Do yourself a great favor. Be honest with yourself. If you do not believe, say, do not believe. If you truly believe, then walk in faith and trust the Lord each step of the way, each day. If you have anything to lose, go, lose it, but do not lose your soul. Don't play a fool with your soul. Don't be deceived. I have a lot of time. I'm young, I'm strong, I'm well. Everything is fine. I have my job. My families are okay. My children are growing up. Everything is well. Look at me. My bank accounts are all right. My parents have already arranged all their will and, you know, what's the big deal? Oh, friend, do not play the fool. Indulge in your unbelief at a cheaper rate than this. If sin be worth having, if you think that it is a better life to live in sin, go. Leave the church and go out and leave all you want and satisfy yourself with all the sin and the pleasure of this world. Why deceive yourself and come? Why make yourself so difficult to come, get out on a Sunday morning, come to church, and then after that, hearing this preacher every time telling me about sin, about hell? It's so boring, you know. Then go. Don't play a fool with your soul. If you really want to believe, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will believe. Choose you this day whom you will follow. If it is the Word, if the Word satisfies you, go ahead. Don't say that, yeah, I believe, yeah, but then, the heart is there, out in the world. Go. Go to the world. At least you, on that final day, stand before God and look up. I have it before. I deserve it. That's it. It's all my own fault. Face the music. End up in eternal condemnation. At least you have enjoyed all the pleasures and the laugh of the world. Why come? And make yourself so, and then you struggle. Don't come, and then after that, feel so difficult, and then come in. Oh!
What misery are you bringing to your soul? O sinners, by the tears of the Lord Jesus, when he wept over Jerusalem, by the blood of Christ, which he shed for guilty men and women, by the heart of the eternal Father who wills not the death of a sinner, God has no desire for the destruction and the death of sinners. He would rather that they would turn to him and live. And so I pray that you will be wise and consider your ways while you have time, while you are still given the opportunity. Choose you this day whom you will serve. May the Lord God guide your choice. May you fall into the arms of divine mercy and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Please save me. Oh, dear friends, dear brethren, why would you perish? Why would you squander away this opportunity given to you every Lord's Day? And you have the Word of God, you have the Bible in your home and your hands. Why are you not reading it? And you have the means of grace, free access before the throne through the Lord Jesus Christ by prayer. Why are you not praying? In the name of the Lord Jesus, indeed, I implore you, I command you to turn to him and live. And don't deceive yourself. Believe on him and you shall be saved. May the Spirit of God speak the truth. Even though you should compel and you have this temptation in you, I will not submit, I will not surrender. May the Holy Spirit soften your hearts now. Speak to him. And you consider very carefully. For those of you who are believers, reflect once again. Do I truly have saving faith like this crippled man? Faith to be saved. Faith to be healed. Faith to be restored. Procrastinate not. As Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? And so say I too to you, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. Don't torture yourself coming to church every Sunday and struggling, tussling in yourself. Why am I coming? Might as well I stay at home. Yeah. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Whether you want to commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ or the world. Do not keep coming here and then continue your unbelief. You are deceiving yourself. Do not come and take your seat here and then go to hell. Oh, by the way, this last part here, I'm quoting from Spurgeon's sermon. It is not my word. Lest you think that I, you know, come up with this on my own to keep gore at you. Do not come and take your seat here and then go to hell. If you serve the devil, serve him and be his true servant. If you mean to go to hell, go there. But if you seek eternal life and joys to come, give up all these things. I remember the words of our first Prime Minister in Singapore. And he is so concerned concerning the welfare of Singapore. And he said this. Those who want to rule or run Singapore must have a heart of steel. If not, give it up. This is not a game of cards. This is your life and my life. Wow. We thank God for such a leader. But here I'm using that to speak to you. He is concerned for the welfare of Singapore, a nation that will perish in the end. Like all the other nations, when Jesus Christ comes, it will be all gone. Burn up in fire. But here we are talking about your eternal life, your soul. It is not a game of cards. It is life and death.
hell or heaven? Why drink?
Says Sturgeon, why drink poison and drink medicine too? Be honest to your own soul. May the Lord grant that some of you may be given not only faith to be saved, but the faith which saves. I repeat, not only to be given the faith to be saved, but the faith which saves. May the Lord help us.